You know there's people who don't listen to their angels. They have the angels, they don't listen to them. Because they have free will. You have free will. I have free will. And while your angels might stand by praying, gosh, I wish that they'd ask for my help today, they can't force it on you. But they're there. So if you will join me in sending white light to the hearts of people, the angels promise me that we can speed up our mission collectively. Thank you. I knew I could count on you, Bay Area. Just even, it doesn't matter how long you do it. Like right now, white light to the hearts of everyone. Just whenever you send light, it's a gift. Just let it go. This is not a past life discussion, but I absolutely know that there are past lives in reincarnation. Your past lives are all coming up right now for you. This is a time of karmic balancing. Not so much in undoing wrongs, either direction, but in understanding fears and phobias that you have created for yourself over lifetimes. The biggest fear we need you to face is the fear of coming out of the spiritual closet and being your authentic self. For some of you who, like myself, didn't have the nicest end of other lives because you were a light worker, it brings up fears about stepping out there and being your authentic self. It's nothing but pure natural energy. Let's drink it in right now. Take in a deep breath, and we ask that you connect to your energy within. We're going to the high energy now, strong and sensitive and powerful light workers who work on the pranic level. Breathing it in. So what is your life purpose? Well, you all know that the core of our life purpose is the same for all of us, and that is love. And that's because that's who we are. And we are one love, one spirit, each and every one of us. Our higher self knows this. Your higher self knows that. And when we go into meditation, we all remember that. Everybody on this whole planet has a personal mission for themselves. But light workers like yourselves also signed up for a global mission. And you can feel that global mission. The form it takes is, we know there's something I'm supposed to do to help people. So I'm here to recruit and initiate you onto whatever your purpose is. But what's needed right now is for all of us to be aligned with our truth. Now that's a fancy New Age term. When I was in the New Age, I thought that I was following Jesus. It turned out I was following the false Christ that Jesus warned about in the latter days. And the false Jesus says, I love everything, I love everyone, and kind of does this swoop on what you said on the greatest commandment, to love people, and says that if you love people, then anything they do is fine. You know, so yeah. Just accept them as they are, which is actually the most unloving thing we can do when we understand the biblical truth, because that's leading them to hell through right. The wide path. The narrow gate is a gate of realizing that we're sinners. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that, it was actually such a relief to realize that I needed God and who God was, and I needed Jesus to save me and steer my life, that when I looked back on my life, that I had done a horrible job of being my own God. At the time, I really thought I was doing God's work. A lot of New Agers will tell you that they're doing God's work, and that Christians are not doing God's work because it makes people unhappy. This is their litmus test. And so when I saw in Deuteronomy 18 that what I was doing made me an abomination to God, it broke my heart. I was on my knees crying and weeping. Maybe 3 days of begging God to forgive me and just saying, I didn't know, God. Over and over, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. And then the more I read the Bible, I saw that hell is real in the New Age. It's considered to be a metaphor that you have hell or heaven on earth. And in the New Age, it's universalist, that the belief is everyone goes to heaven. All paths lead to God, so it's pluralistic, relativistic, and universalistic. So you can do no wrong in the New Age, is the bottom line. When I read that I had done grievous wrong, that's when I was saved.
Welcome to the Thoroughly Equipped Podcast, where we compare the teachings from popular women's ministry books, conferences, Bible studies, etc., to Scripture. Our focus is 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'm your host, Melba Toast. May this episode bless you and bring glory to God. Hey ladies, welcome to Thoroughly Equipped. We have now started season three. It's been a little bit of work. As you can see, I'm still in my basement. but eventually I'll get moved upstairs. Don't know when that's going to happen. But I thought, okay, I've had about 3 months break. A lot of work involved in that time, but time to get moving back on the podcast. So for the first episode of any season, I really like to have an interview with a woman who's come out of some kind of movement or false teaching. Last season, we had an interview with Amy Russo from Grace and Peace Radio, and she had come out of feminism, and we discussed her testimony and kind of dived into that. This season, our guest on TE is Doreen Virtue. So Doreen Virtue, if you don't know anything about her, was a top-selling New Age author with heretical publications in 38 languages by various publishers. She had an appearance on Oprah and sold out international workshops before God graciously saved her back in 2017. Now she's a whistleblower, exposing New Age deception and warning the church of false teaching on her YouTube channel, on social media pages, including Facebook, and on frequent other podcasts and YouTube channel interviews. Doreen has been featured on American Gospel 3, American Gospel TV, Daily Wire, Moody Radio, Spillover, Christianity Today, Cultish, and other Christian media. Doreen graduated with a master's degree in biblical and theological studies, 56 units with highest honors, from Western Seminary in 2021. She holds a BA and MA in counseling psychology from Chapman University. It was a brilliant interview, in my opinion, as we dive into not only her testimony, but we talk about spiritualism and mysticism and witchcraft and yoga and Enneagram and all of it. So I hope you enjoy. Here's my interview with Doreen Virtue. Doreen, thank you so much for coming on to Thoroughly Equipped. I am super excited. So I've been praying and studying and going back to old interviews I saw with you, because I remember seeing you on the Justin Peters Didache podcast, and I was fascinated. And I heard about that podcast through Fighting for the Faith, through Chris Roseborough. And Amy Spreeman and Michelle Leslie were talking about you and how you had come out of the New Age. And I found that so fascinating, learning all about you. So I have been super excited to have you on, especially because going forward on this next season, I'm going to start diving into some more charismatic teachings. I don't know if you know much about my show, but I typically was brought up in the seeker sensitive. I got heavily involved in seeker sensitive churches. The purpose driven gospel was the gospel that I really was brought up around. And coming out of that and then moving into Reformed theology, it was just a freedom, an immense freedom to realize what Christ had actually done, and it was all paid for, and I didn't have to do a thing. So, but what I've started to see, because I came out of it, is Gnosticism, mysticism, New Age, witchcraft tools coming into the church. And so then that's why I wanted to have you on, knowing your background. Which, would you go into your background and how you came out of the NAR and all, or not the NAR, but the New Age movement and everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, praise the Lord. And thank you for having me on your program. It's so great to meet you, Melissa. And I want to thank Brother Andrew also for introducing us.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, speaking of Gnosticism, I was raised in a neo-Gnostic false church called Christian Science. And I was the fifth generation of our family, Christian Scientist, all from my mother's side. My dad, who was a Presbyterian, did not do spiritual covering, or he was not the spiritual leader of our family. He let my mom take care of my brother. That's a picture of my brother and I up there. And so Christian Science is completely blasphemous and heretical by the false prophetess Mary Baker Eddy. It was also a King James Version onlyist church. And I was given a King James Bible when I was a kid. We read it every single day. But the trouble was that it was cherry-picked assigned verses. So you had to read only the assigned verses. They were taken out of context. And then the commentary was Mary Baker Eddy's book. So it was through her lens that we were reading the Bible. And we were in church twice a week. So I thought I was a Christian my whole life, Melissa. I mean, I had that trappings on the outside. But I was definitely not saved. I knew the name Jesus. I knew a little bit of the Bible, but I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know God. And I certainly didn't know I was a sinner in need of the Savior, Jesus. My mom was a professional Christian Science practitioner, which is very much word of faith, where you name it and claim it, you decree and declare, you use prayers out of the Bible, but you twist them. Mm-hmm. And the belief was that God always wants you to heal. So that's exactly word of faith. Yeah. And we never went to doctors as a kid. We had no doctors. We didn't even have repair people for our appliances or cars. It was all pray over everything. And the thing was, this is what was confusing, Melissa, is that I saw people, I didn't see them get healed, but we would be at the testimony meetings every Wednesday night and read the journal articles about their testimonies about being healed. That was our whole focus, was Jesus healing your body or Jesus healing something that's broken. It was never about salvation. It was never about sanctification at all. It was just about getting healed 100%. So it was like the physical health version of Joel Osteen, who's always talking about getting rich.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
And it's amazing that God could give me a new heart and a new life that I could really understand the gospel and be saved.
Yeah, but I can understand how you went on to where you go next, it sounds like. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I grew up Christian Science. Like I said, I was in the church. I was in the Sunday school. I was at the youth group events. I was all in. I was a member of the Mother Church of Boston. You know, that was my life, was Christian Science theology. And so then I became a psychotherapist. I went to Chapman University and earned a BA and an MA in psychology and had both a private practice, and I worked in inpatient in hospitals with women's issues, mostly women with eating disorders and sexual abuse survivors. And then since childhood, I'd had kind of these paranormal, supernatural experiences. I really believe it was because my dad didn't, and I hate to blame him, but there was no spiritual covering in our house. Mm-hmm. And this was a very demonic, Christian Science is very demonic in the way that it teaches. Mm-hmm. So I just think that there was real things happening as a child, but nobody understood them or could explain them. So I think I got into psychology for that. But then the paranormal experiences continued when I became a psychotherapist, where I would sit with a client and I would just know things about them. They wouldn't even need to tell me anything. I mean, real details. And this was just my whole life. I was like my friend's counselor, very intuitive, I guess, would be the word, the secular word. And so after a while, I started to teach about eating disorders, but it was through the lens of Christian Science. So it was metaphysical eating disorder psychology books. And I started to get really, my book started to get really popular. So I was on Oprah twice. I was on Phil Donahue, if anyone remembers him, and The View, and all the liberal shows. I was on CNN constantly and being toured around the world. But the more that I was talking about this, the more that I started to research New Age principles. I was more in the New Thought world up until that point, but touring with other teachers who were New Age, I started to learn about yoga and chakras, and I became a Reiki master, And I was just a hungry researcher, just absorbing what they were teaching. And then I would teach others, and I would write books about those. So I was a real prolific writer doing automatic writing, where and we'll talk about that, because that's how Jesus' calling was made, and that's how you know, a lot of, like, the Enneagram, that's where it came from. So I would just say a quote, prayer of protection. God doesn't protect us from doing sins, of course, but that's the belief in the New Age. You just pray a prayer of protection, and automatically you've got you've got your cover to sin. And I would just bring, I would just listen, and it was as if another voice was speaking through me, things I didn't understand, and I would just type them or handwrite them out. And, so I wrote, I think, 70 books by the time I was saved. I'm 65 years old right now. I was saved at age 59. Wow. So in 2017, yeah. And it was like going to another world, another planet to be saved, because it was the same language that I'd come out of, but it was being used in a whole different context. So I enrolled in seminary just so I could learn to rightly divide God's word. And got a master's in biblical and theological studies at Western Seminary with highest honors, which is all glory to God, because before I was saved, I would have got straight F's at seminary, I'm sure, from my unbiblical views I had. So it was just so I could really understand the Bible in the right way, instead of through the lens of Mary Baker Eddy that I'd grown up with. And praise the Lord. So because I'd written all those books and they were licensed to publishers, not only my U.S. publisher, but foreign publishers, I stayed in the public eye after I was saved. You know, I was already had quite a platform, and just stayed because I didn't want people to buy my books anymore. I wanted them to burn them if they had them, or throw them away if they couldn't burn them. And my theology in the beginning was so bad. You know, I was just a baby Christian. I should have taken some time off, but I didn't, and that's the past. So now what I do is I just call out New Age deception and New Age I see in the church. And then I talk to people being called out of the New Age on social media. On Instagram, they can write to me, or I'm an admin in a private Facebook group called From New Age to Jesus. Mm. And so I just, all day long, I talk to people about this. And
wow.
That's about my story.
One of the things that I thought was fascinating that I had heard in the past, you talk about, I had watched some of your, I don't know if you had posted these videos, if there were other people that posted videos. I saw some of your old, I don't know if it was originally on YouTube, but I saw it on YouTube. You'd have these visions and meetings with Jesus and angels and things like that. And it's really no different than what I typically see now in the NAR and hyper-charismatic. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, because I think you, in one of your other interviews that I listened to, you said you even had a little bit where you were attending charismatic type church. Or so what... having made that progression, where was it that you just stopped the New Age? What was it that made you leave New Age and then go, oh, I need Christ?
Yeah. Well, again, I thought I was following Jesus my whole life. I thought he was, it's so blasphemous, but I thought he was one of my ascended master spirit guides. And that's how the New Age views him, as a, just like Christian Science I was raised in, that he was a created human who watches over us and guides us, and like a guardian angel type of viewpoint. And I thought that I was doing God's work this whole time, because people who bought my New Age products or came to my seminars always told me that I was comforting them, I was helping them. And they would say, you know, oh gosh, you're an angel sent from heaven. I had no idea that what I was doing was a sin. There were born again Christians coming against me, but I didn't understand what they were. I just saw them as being angry people throwing Bible verses at me. No one sat down with me and said, hey, let's just talk about Jesus. And I'm not blaming them. I mean, this is my brother here, Ken, who was saved 20 years before me. He shared the gospel with me. he sent me Ray Comfort videos, which I did watch.
Wow.
But I was offended, and I heard the gospel. I mean, when I, in the 90s, I was a big follower of Chuck Smith's ministry.
Okay.
And I would listen to Chuck Smith on the radio when he was alive every day. And I grew up in the 60s and 70s before this kind of woke movement now. Mm-hmm. It used to be that you'd hear the gospel on there. It wasn't TBN back then. There was Christian pastors on TV all the time, and they'd be sharing the gospel and reading out of the Bible. So, you know, even Billy Graham, I know he's ecumenical, but, and there's issues with him, but he'd go on Johnny Carson and share the gospel. So those of us who are my age, we've heard the gospel our whole lives, and God's word does not return void. The sticking point for me in Christian Science and in New Age is that we were taught we're not sinners, that we're made in God's image and likeness, so therefore, we are sinless like God's sinless. So when I would hear the gospel or the sinner's prayer, I'd say, that might be true for you. You might be a sinner, but I'm not. I'm in God's image. And that was the sticking point for me. So to answer your question, I heard Alistair Begg, because I listened to him all the time, in January 2015, he was doing expository sermon on 2 Timothy 4, that in the end times people will want their itching ears tickled by false teachers. And then he described a false teacher, and it was the first time, Melissa, I can remember having the Holy Spirit convict me, ever. And it was like, ouch, because he was describing a false teacher, and it was like he was describing me as a New Age teacher. So I heard this in the car on Christian Satellite Network, and got home, and I said to my husband, I said, I think we need to go to a regular church. We'd been going to New Age type of churches, or Roman Catholic. We went to them quite a bit. And I said, even though we weren't Roman Catholic, we had no business going there either. Mm-hmm. But we liked the candles and the statues and the idolatry. It was like the New Age idolatry. Anyway, so we started to kind of flop around trying to find a solid denomination, and we didn't know what we were doing, so we ended up at a Pentecostal Foursquare church.
Okay.
And nice people, but it was all about, again, healing, prophecy. It was so similar to Christian Science.
Yeah.
And even less Bible reading than Christian Science church. So we felt restless, like, okay, we want to learn about the Bible. And so then we went over to an Episcopalian church, which is called Catholic Light, and we went there for 2 years because of the hospitality, and we didn't know any different. And it was in that church that I wasn't saved at the church, but I really started to read the Bible, and I'd always read little bits of the Bible, but this time I read it from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. So it just kept going. And when I got to Deuteronomy 18, this is the passage where God is speaking through Moses to the second generation of Israelites who are about to cross the Jordan River. And God is saying, do not be like the Canaanites. Do not burn your children in the fire. Now, of course, a little odd fact is that I'd been pro-life since I was a teenager. I was an oddball in the New Age as a pro-lifer. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing about burning children in the fire didn't compute. But then when he got to do not use divination, that was my whole wheelhouse by that point in the New Age. I was known for these little angel cards. And then it said, do not interpret signs and omens. That was what I taught and did every day. I even had a book on it. And then it said, do not practice mediumship, which is another thing that I'd gotten into and that I was teaching and writing about. So these three things, do not practice divination, interpret signs and omens, or mediumship. But the kicker, Melissa, was the bottom part of Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. It says, anyone who does these things is a detestable abomination to God. Yeah. And it was like a sword went through my heart, because I, up until that point, I thought I was doing God's work by helping, comforting, grieving people. Mm-hmm. And to find out that no, it wasn't the practices are condemned. Of course, we know that they're condemned in the Old and the New Testament, but the people doing it are condemned.
Right.
I couldn't believe what I was reading. See, I was raised KJV. And I had gotten an NKJV, and that was an NLT I was reading out of. And I think that really helped me. I really think the KJV was a stumbling block for me. I still read KJV. I actually do the Lord's Prayer in KJV. And Psalm 23 sounds best in KJV to me. But I just think the old archaic Elizabethan language was a stumbling block for me growing up. And to finally see God's word in a more of a modern translation, even though I don't like the NLT anymore, I think it's too liberal,
yeah,
but I needed it at that point. And so I, after I read that and realized, oh, I am a sinner. Boom. That's what I needed. Age 59. I'm a senior citizen. I finally realized I'm a sinner. That's when I got on the floor and I was crying my eyes out because of this, I was horrified that I had passed along this deception to so many people. And I prayed for all the people that had received my teaching. I do every day still. And I prayed, please, Lord, forgive me. And I don't know what I'm doing. Obviously, please take over my life. So I repented and gave my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior that day. It was September 2017. And then the sanctification and the process began and the spiritual warfare. Of course, all those so-called angels of New Age suddenly became I realized, oh, that's Satan masquerading as an angel of light with his fallen angels, and all the spiritual warfare happened. And
yeah, praise God,
right. I mean, it's a miracle. It is absolutely. I mean, all those healing so-called miracles I grew up with as a Christian Scientist, that they're nothing on salvation.
Yeah,
that's the miracle.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to dive in a little deeper here and get at some of the like teachings that are found in New Age and mysticism. I really appreciate you sharing that testimony with me. I think, one thing I do want to say before we get into the diving deep is I know, you've made statements in other interviews that you, wish you hadn't gone, continued being a public figure. I have to say though, I agree, you shouldn't have, but I love the fact that we can see that and see you where you are today and how much you're speaking out against all of that. It's a way to compare. And I always think of how we just have no examples of we are now more days, it's becoming more and more, but we don't have very many examples of seeing that visually, somebody coming out of the spiritism and mysticism and false teaching and repenting of it, turning from it, not only just turning, you said you've tried to cancel all your books or stuff like that, and then going on and publicly having to deal with, I wouldn't say persecution, like we would think of persecution, but I'm sure verbal, you had a lot of backlash when you started speaking out about it. I saw some videos from other New Agers who were even blaming your husband, saying that you went into the darkness and things like this. And I was just like, no, she saw the real light. She saw Jesus, you know. She actually experienced the Holy Spirit and he transformed her. But so I thought I just wanted to encourage you and just say it is a blessing to really see that. I'm so glad God is using you. And I hope he continues to use you, not just bring out people from New Age, but people like who believe the same type of, who have that same type of philosophy or worldview where they think that yes, they're made in the image of God and they're but that means, like you said, they're not sinners. Like somehow they're separated from their flesh and there's a spiritual connection to the divine in which they can then control the divine or control their future. And this is the connection I see between, all New Age and NAR, charismatic, and even some continuations believing that they can somehow change the future. To add a little bit, I see it coming into the purpose-driven churches as well. It's a way of you're usurping God's sovereignty so that you have control over your life, whether that be healing, whether that be knowledge, whether that be you're finding your purpose. Same type of philosophy and presupposition is behind that, that your spirit's connected to, you call it, NAR, it's Holy Spirit. In, New Age, it's the divine. You know, in regular, purpose driven, it's just God, but, that is still, this is why I feel like there's a connection, a straight line to witchcraft, a slippery slope to it. It's that spiritualism. So can you tell me a bit about the New Age idea of being spiritual? What is spiritualism in the New Age?
Yeah, you'll hear New Agers say, I'm spiritual, not religious. And it just, it makes me cringe when I hear people put down religion, because Christianity is a religion, and I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. So I know what they mean, and I'm sure you probably get this backlash too, Melissa, of being called a Pharisee or a legalist. We're the first, I'm speaking for you, please correct me if I'm wrong. We're the first to say we're not saved by our works.
Right.
We're saved by God's grace and mercy through our faith in Jesus Christ. And even that faith is not a work on our part. That's something that God regenerated in us. It's all God. It's 100% God. And so those who backlash against me, I have empathy for them, because I don't think I would have been blatantly making videos against people who left the New Age. Maybe I would have, I don't know. But it's 2 Corinthians talks about that the God of this world, you know, puts a veil over people, and that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That was me for most of my life. So I have empathy for those who do not understand, or who cannot understand that it's Jesus. That's why I left the New Age. It's all Jesus. That's all. It's not, and they have all their theories, MK Ultra and my husband, and, you know, just menopause, even though I was 59 and way past menopause. But the spiritism is all about the self. The New Age is completely narcissistic, self prideful driven. So it really consists, and this is over 20 years of touring, giving New Age workshops, that is where I'm speaking from, and being one myself. Many people attracted to the New Age have a history or a background of some sort of trauma, you know, parental divorce or some illness or accident or just something happened.
Can I just say that is becoming a very hot topic in the seeker sensitive, purpose driven churches? It's huge, the trauma and psychology in it.
So. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, my background is psychology. So, and I don't believe in psychology anymore, because that's self-driven. I believe in biblical counseling.
For one about that. Cause
yeah, sure.
Definitely wanted to pick your brain on that one.
Yeah. Well, biblical counseling, I'm a big fan of, as long as it's true biblical counseling and not conflated with New Age. But so the New Age always points to yourself, as does Seeger Sensitive, and NAR, Word of Faith, always points to you and makes you the center of the universe. So you're an idol, a lover of self, as the Bible says in the end times. And so it's this, since these trauma survivors felt like they couldn't trust their parents, I mean, that's a lot of it. They couldn't trust other people. They start to only rely on themselves. And for a lot of us in the New Age, myself in the past, we didn't know who God was. So in the New Age, God is called Source or the Universe. And you don't have a personal relationship with energy or the universe. Now, it's a confusion, because God created the universe. And so it really is Romans 1:25, where we're serving the creature instead of the creator. And the New Agers are very connected with wanting to control the future, to manifest, to law of attraction, vision boards, which one woman says is from Habakkuk 2:2. It's not. That's a vision that the minor prophet Habakkuk had. But the point is that desire to control and predict and plan and manifest is because of not knowing God. And for me, the first lesson on my plate coming out of the New Age was learning who God was, learning his attributes by studying the Bible every single day, and learning to trust in the Lord. My life verse is Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. And you have to learn who God is to trust in him. If you don't know God, how can you trust in him? Mm-hmm. And how do you know God until you start to read the Bible? But in the New Age, they keep saying that the Bible is corrupt, that Constantine and the Roman Catholic Church secretly took out these books that were found at Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls. However, they've never actually read those books. If they did, they would see that we know that they're pseudo-deuterocanonical, that they're written like 2 centuries after the last apostle physically died. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they've stamped his name or her name on it, and the New Agers are romanticized those books and convinced they're the secret truth. Mm-hmm. And so to have a New Ager read the Bible and to understand the gospel that we are sinners, that needs God's hand. But we as saved people, we're commanded to share the gospel with all nations. And New Agers will get offended. If someone's listening right now who's got a loved one in the New Age, they will get mad at you. They will get offended. I got mad at my brother when he would share the gospel. Mm-hmm. But God's word does not return void. Right. And we have to share the gospel. So the New Agers are in this very lonely position of believing that it's just them creating everything. You're taught in the New Age that your every thought creates your reality. And what a burden that is to carry. You're put on this burden that you can't be around anything negative. You can't watch the news, listen to the news. You can't have any friends that are Christians because they're too negative. Just these rules in the New Age that are so fundamentalist.
And
they make the most fundamentalist.
Yeah.
Charismatic too. Yes. Yeah. You have to distance yourself or ghost anyone that you believe is toxic. And if you have any negative thought, then it's your fault that you're sick or had an accident or something bad happened to you. You attracted this with your negative thoughts. Very much like Job's friends, right?
Mm. Yeah. Sounds very familiar.
Yes. And then the paranormal experiences are encouraged in the New Age. And you take classes. I took psychic development classes, and I ended up teaching them. And the devil and his minions are very happy to mimic, masquerade as an angel of light. And so you start to believe that you are interacting with these very high level beings. Mm-hmm. And people in the New Age, they place meaning on everything. Everything is a sign. Everything is a message. If you happen to see repeating number patterns, that's a message from God.
Omens.
For you. Yeah, omens. Yeah. It's always about that personal, private, special revelation that you are getting because you're special. And you mentioned the purpose too, the purpose-driven life. The New Age is all about the purpose too. What's my life purpose? What's my life purpose? Is an obsessive question that you hear in the New Age. And the answer, it's coming from a benevolent place because the New Agers I met all want to help others, and they believe that they single-handedly are going to save the world. They literally believe that. And it's taught in the New Age handbook called A Course in Miracles.
Really?
It was popularized by Marianne Williamson. Yeah.
Okay.
The presidential candidate.
That's I'm going to have to read that book. I don't know if...
No, do not...
No, for research
purposes. Don't read The Course in Miracles.
Research purposes, purposes only. And I want to do that because this is a tangent. I want to go back to spiritism. But the If Gathering. Have you heard of the If Gathering?
I've heard of the If Gathering. I haven't researched it though.
Yeah. So they just had their 10-year anniversary, and Jenny Allen announced that next year, in replace kind of the typical IF gathering, which is a conference for women, they are broadening it. It is now it's called Gather 25, where all the global church will gather. Now, if you know anything about, the IF gathering's purpose is to change the world. her motivation for the very beginning received from a small voice that she says was from heaven, was to start, it told her to equip a generation to start the If Gathering, and the goal was to change the world. That's their main purpose. This is why then you see connections with Be the Bridge. Do not touch that with a 10-foot pole. Be the Bridge is critical race theory through and through. And then other things, like she includes psychology and psychotherapists, and she gives them a platform. And the whole thing, again, is about changing the world. And now here it is. She's gone egalitarian with the conference, and it is going to be the whole world global gathering, and the purpose I'm imagining is the same, because she says that they're going to do a couple things. They're going to worship, pray, repent, and commission. So they want a commission to go out and tell people, make Jesus known, but to change the world. So that connection between the new age and this idea of a kind of social, which is, would you say there's a lot of social justice fighters in new age?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's very ecumenism in the new age, as well as the social justice.
Except for you. they kicked you out.
Yeah, they kicked me. Yeah, yeah. They accept everyone except for actual evangelical Christians.
Yes.
Bible-believing Christians are not allowed, but everyone else is allowed. And yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that she heard a still small voice. That's always the beginning of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, so this is where we always have to point to 1 John 4, the test of the Spirit.
Yep.
And the test of the Spirit, of course, it was written for Gnostics, because they were saying that Jesus only rose spiritually, not bodily. So he specifically says that. But is the application for today is still that if someone or something is not aligning with the Bible, like Acts 17:11 of the Bereans, then this is not the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is a false prophecy. And it's just so important for everyone to know their Bible. Now, when I grew up in the 60s, I lived on a very long street and I grew up in Southern California before it was all liberal and everything. And everyone in our neighborhood would go to church. There was one family that went to synagogue next door. But the point was that it was just on Sundays, no stores were open. You couldn't even get gasoline in America on a Sunday. It was just, everything was about going to church and then you go to grandma's afterwards for a meal. That was the Sundays. And nowadays, that you can't tell Sunday from a Monday in America. It's just the same. And people are feeling proud of themselves for watching an online sermon instead of gathering for fellowship, as we are exhorted to do. We have to read the Bible. There's just no way around it. We need that biblical worldview. But what Jenny's talking about is dominionism, isn't it? They believe that they want to make the world a better place, and then Jesus will return, which is not what the Bible says at all.
Yeah, it's a life form. You won't mention or talk about end times in that way, except for that this newer, the Gather 25 was brought on because she received a dream. So, okay. Again.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was the same way. You know, my original cards, and this is what I was best known for, these heretical, blasphemous divination cards. They were called angel cards. They were initiated by a dream that I had, and I thought it was my grandmother Pearl. It was such a realistic dream. I thought my grandma Pearl was telling me to go study Pythagoras, and that led me to studying Egyptian Hermeticism and numerology and tarot, and that led to me to create my own deck of cards. And I always said they were safe because they don't have any pentagrams or devils on them. It's all positive, happy, 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 sugar-coated divination, but yet it was still divination. But it just like with her, it was a dream. It's so dangerous.
Yeah.
If we have to compare everything to scripture.
Yeah, well, I have huge red flags when you were receiving some kind of dream and then questioning about if Jesus comes back, if he's going to be happy with the church and then going out and try to make the church do what it's supposed to do. her way instead of Christ's way, but that's a whole nother topic.
She's giving commissions. That's crazy. Yeah.
And I just one, it's mm-hmm. a woman gathering the global church. That should be a red flag right there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What chapter of Revelation is that?
Yeah. Exactly. I have a question too. Yeah. So you mentioned about you receiving these visions and you receiving this and, mm-hmm. and look, it produced something for you that was, other people thought it was beneficial. It was very popular. The whole world, probably not the whole world, but the world ended up liking it. They accepted it. Kind of like, you know, Gather 25 is going to be accepted. And your, they were tarot cards, or you called them angel cards, right?
They were angel cards based on tarot cards,
right.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that I'm always curious about is, do New Agers who are receiving, these, kind of experiences or these voices or having these mystical, intuitions or anything like that. There's obviously no checking of any spirit because you're believing, I guess, mm-hmm. that the divine is helping you in some way, right? Do they actually?
Yeah, do
they believe in demons and I mean, you're talking to angels, but do they believe in demons? Do they?
Well, it's so illogical. And here's what they believe. They believe that this world is heaven on earth. This is the only heaven, and that this is the only hell, and it's what you make of it. If you're negative, you're in hell. If you're positive, you're in heaven here. But they
like
do
the
believe
Bible
that they're
project.
In the yeah
the Bible
yeah
project.
And they do I definitely know the Bible Project, yeah, and N.T. Wright and Heiser's influence on them also. But they do believe in near-death experiences, but the New Age believes that the Christian teachings in the Bible about the devil, unclean spirits, hell, were a manipulative add-on from the Roman Catholic Church and Constantine to manipulate people in order to get control and money. That's the New Age belief.
Paycheck.
And that they believe that the crucifixion never happened, that it was appropriation of the Babylonian, Sumerian, Egyptian beliefs in a sun god, who, like Osiris, who, you know, and all that. So they don't believe in anything that we do about the gospel. They only believe in God is love. They pick out that verse, okay, and ask and it shall be given, you know, just what they call the happy parts. And so they don't believe in demons at all. They believe in negative energy. So the prayers of protection, like they use sage all the time, which they've appropriated from Native American spirituality. They use sage to ward away negative energy. And there is this belief in negative entities, but they're not demons. They're dead people who have not properly been processed. So they're angry that they're dead and they don't know they're dead. So it's just this weird belief system that doesn't include what the Bible teaches.
Okay. Can the dead people influence your life? Is it kind of like a Ghostbusters type thing? Like they can do things in your house? You could have wouldn't be a demonic spirit in your house, but it would be a ghost, I guess, in your house type of thinking.
Yeah, it's similar. Yeah. So the New Agers believe that deceased people who've not been properly processed will not haunt you. They don't use words, or they don't use the word ghost, but just can bother you. And they even believe that the deceased people's spirits can go into your body and hide because they're trying to hide. They're afraid to go to heaven or hell. Not hell. They don't believe in hell. They're just afraid. So they go into your body to your fingertips. And these modern deliverance ministries teach the same thing, by the way, that demons can go into your fingertips. In the New Age, it was called spirit releasement therapy. And this was something I was big into. I did it in almost every workshop and I wrote about it in several of my books. So spirit releasement therapy was this belief that it's all me-centered. So I can call on Archangel Michael. He's big in the New Age, not the biblical Archangel Michael that we see in Daniel, Jude, and Revelation, but this more of a conflated Roman Catholic type of belief that Michael's our personal protector. And so this belief is that each New Ager can ask Archangel Michael to come escort away the deceased people to whatever heaven is.
Okay.
And put him in a net of light, like a fishing net, and just capture that dead person and take them away kicking and screaming to the afterlife. It's just the New Age is very delusional and dissociated, but it's also pretty coherent. I mean, most people believe the same thing in the New Age, even though there's different kind of factions, almost different denominations in the New Age. There's those who are into the very darkest parts, like Wicca and witchcraft and Satanism. And then there's those, I was more on the spectrum that's more fantasy, where we were into fairies and unicorns and mermaids and angels. And, it was considered the lighter part of New Age, but we were all in. I mean, we really believed all of this.
Did you ever watch Sid Roth when you were in the New Age?
I was not even aware of him. I did not even know anything about Sid Roth until I was saved.
Because that falls into the fantasy, definitely. I just find it so fascinating, the similarities between New Age and the NAR. You did say that so a New Ager wouldn't believe that they had like a demon, that they were demon possessed, but they could be it's a spirit, a dead spirit could be hindering them or preventing them from doing what they want or obstruct them in some way. Okay. All right.
Correct.
So it's the same, the same type of worldview, same type of philosophy, just different names or just a minor change.
Here's why. I mean, it's so similar. When I was saved, I just kind of naively expected to find all these churches that were Bible-based. And there are, praise the Lord, there's a lot of Bible-based churches and faithful pastors. But I kept seeing a lot of churches that were like the mind-body-spirit festivals that I used to lecture at, like Bethel Reading, for instance.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away that they were calling psychics prophets when it was nothing like the biblical prophets. But what I really believe is it goes to 2 Timothy 3:15, that all scripture is God-breathed, right?
Yeah, right.
So all scripture is God-breathed, but the counterfeit is all devil-breathed, and it's the same author for all these false teachings. Exact same author, so of course it's similar.
Yeah, and like you said, it's always seen as an angel of light, or it's there to help you and guide you in some way. Wow. Okay, so could you, for those people who don't know or are listening to this, what's the difference really between, we understand spiritualism is a connection between this idea that you can have your spiritual part of you can be connected to the divine, and however that plays out in multiple ways. But what's the difference between spiritualism and mysticism, and then what is mysticism?
Mysticism is the obsession with experiences that seem to be out of the ordinary. I really believe it's people who are bored with the Bible or don't know the Bible, and they take their experiences as their Bible. And that was my life in the New Age. We were all about, let's go more, more, more. I sound like Heidi Baker right there. More, more, more. we wanted to see the angels. We wanted to do past life regressions to the beginning of the creation of Earth. We wanted to go farther and farther in our, now I know, New Age delusions, but we were just, at the bottom line, we were truth seekers. We were looking for the ultimate secret, the ultimate truth.
Okay.
And the only truth that we can find is right here.
Yeah, amen.
In God's word.
Yep.
It's, and that Bible had been on my shelf my whole life. That was the sad part. When I finally started reading the Bible, years before I was saved, it resonated. And I kept wanting to read the whole Bible, but something would prevent me. You know, I guess I wonder what that something was.
Yeah.
And when I finally read the whole Bible, that's when God took the scales off my eyes.
So what do you think is the motivating factor behind trying to gain some kind of knowledge through your experience? Why is it that we're so more inclined, especially as women, to go in that direction instead of scripture.
Yeah, let's ask our ancestor Eve why she was promised secret wisdom for defying God. I mean, it's our fallen nature, isn't it? Just, yeah. And it's that fleshly desire to be special by having secret hidden wisdom or the private special revelation. God told me,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like we have to stop that. We have to take our eyes off ourselves and keep our eyes on Jesus.
Right. I like to pose it this way. It's sometimes, at least for me, I wasn't really big into the whole trying to receive experiences. I did try to read omens several times because I wanted, you know, direction. I wanted to, you know, be faithful and obey, but I wanted it done my way and was hoping God would do it my way and give me a yes, that's the way to go. So, but for me, one of the things that really opened my eyes was one, learning about, like you said, the attributes of God, but, so I wanted to feel that God was approved of me, and every experience was either a good one or a bad one. And then I always judged my spiritual relation with God, I could even go so far as my justification by whether God was blessing me or whether, you know, God wasn't or taking something away or I was going through trials. So then this was, you know, God was displeased with me. And so there was always a high to try and feel the pleasure or the approval of God. And to me, sometimes I think the speaking in tongues, the, you know, having that experience, looking for those loving experiences, especially when you're going in work. So this was the big one, the worship time and the music and feeling that just emotionalism that I wanted to cry and just feeling such peace. I was judging that as in, okay, yeah, the Holy Spirit's with me, but then also God is pleased with me, right? Instead of realizing God's pleased with me, not because of that experience, but because of Jesus Christ, something that happened 2,000 years ago. On my behalf, I'm clothed in his righteousness, not my own. And so that once I realized that and that I had been given one of the greatest gifts, the Holy Spirit, you know, to guide me throughout the day, and that God was sovereign and in the day by day things, I was just to be faithful. And that is what pleased. That was the other thing, too, not hearing the law of God. To understand that those are what pleases him. So there was never a third use of the law, you know, they're telling you how to be sanctified, telling you what God's will is for you. It was always go find that purpose, you know, go conquer the world. and it drew me away from my home instead of realizing, oh, I should be focused here. And so anyway, but how do you see mysticism then? I mean, we kind of touched on it already, entering the church. Where do you see it really entering?
Yeah, unfortunately, I see a lot of Trojan horses that the devil's using to get the New Age into the church. And what you just mentioned is deeply troubling because the devil, of course, hates the family system that God designed and will try to get the mother to focus away from the family. And plant ambition in our hearts. So that's part of our fallen nature, too, that we have to be aware of. But some of the big forms of mysticism coming to the church are the channeled books that are supposed to be Christian, and they're not. Mm-hmm. And they include, of course, Jesus Calling. The author's passed, but I'm not going to let up on what she did before she passed because I don't see any record of her repenting or renouncing. That she was, in fact, let me show you this, Melissa. So I only have these for research purposes. So here's the 2004 edition, the original edition of Jesus Calling. In this edition, Sarah Young claimed that she was inspired by this book, God Calling, which is an occultic book, a metaphysical book that is similar to the modern Neil Donald Walsh Conversations with God book. It's not a Christian book. It's not God talking because it contradicts scripture.
Yeah.
So Sarah Young said she She basically was in essence saying that the Bible wasn't enough. She wanted to go outside of scripture, which is the danger. And she wanted to get messages herself from Jesus and share them. And so the Christian community rightly so got very upset that she said that she was inspired by a metaphysical occultic book. And so the next printing, they took that out. And they keep changing the book, Jesus Calling, because Christians are speaking out against what she puts in there that contradicts scripture. Mm-hmm. And it's just, this is encouraging people to trans-channel a voice and to violate 1 Timothy 4, or 1 John 4, the test of the spirit. There's a similar book about Brother Lawrence that's now become popular. And unfortunately, and I love this woman, and I'm not speaking out against her. I pray that she will see this video and perhaps have another take on it. It's Johnny Erickson Tata. She has a new book out, Practicing the Presence of Jesus. And it's based on Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, who is he was a Roman Catholic monk mystic. Mm-hmm. Who was all about feeling that presence of God. And this is about contemplative, so-called contemplative prayer. Yeah. It's not true biblical prayer. It's Eastern mystic type of meditation, not the biblical meditation that you see. The Hebrew word is haggah in Joshua 1 and Psalm 1, where you meditate on the law, you meditate on the Bible. And haggah actually means mutter or utter out loud. So you're supposed to meditate on the word while speaking it kind of under your breath is what the biblical meditation is. But the contemplative mysticism, where you're supposed to sit and listen for God's voice, so dangerous that's in the church. I mean, this is the devil's ploy to get us to take our eyes off of really who Jesus is and put our own invented Jesus in front of us.
Yeah, amen to that, because that is definitely, the last couple episodes or the whole season, in critiquing the If Gathering, I dived into their ministry, I dived into their books. They have a book called Enjoying Jesus, in which they promote Brother Lawrence and other Christian mystics. And not only that, the which I found this fascinating, he's a psychotherapist. He has a ministry of his own, Kurt Thompson. It's about being known. He does contemplative prayer. He encourages it to the women as a way to feel the presence of the Lord, and God is always pleased with you, and you're to meditate and sit in that quietness. I did an episode where I was comparing Marsha Montenegro talking about contemplative prayer and the leaving your mind and quieting all thoughts and then receiving this presence. And he's basically reiterating the same exact thing.
Prevalent. Yeah. It is
everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Along with Lectio Divina. That's another mystical practice you see in some churches where you're supposed to look at a Bible verse and then listen for more information about that Bible verse. Listen for application. Now, the Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible, does illuminate passages to convict us, teach us, remind us of Jesus' teaching. That's biblical. But the Lectio Divina, the contemplative prayer, the whole mysticism wants to go outside of the Bible and again make us the heroes of the story.
Yeah.
And we don't need that.
Yeah.
I want to just say one of my favorite Bible theologians, he's passed now, his name Warren Wiersbe, Wiersbe. And he wrote the B series. He's got a Wiersbe study Bible that I really like. He's the one of the few solid pastors, and Phil Johnson speaks highly of him, knew of him before he passed. Knew him and actually said that Warren Wiersbe introduced Phil Johnson to A.W. Pink's work.
Oh, okay.
So he's, he's safe is my point. And Warren Wiersbe, he has application in his writings. If people want application, I would highly recommend Wiersbe's work because he compares everything to scripture with his application. Mm. And he shows you where it is in the Bible. So it's the narrow gate. And we have to be so careful because, a lot of these mystical practices want to point us to the broad road of destruction.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. So why is this, I'm assuming, and you could correct me, is the New Age movement mostly filled with women? Is this a typical, drawing to women, especially?
Well, it was in my workshops because of my topic was always angels or goddesses. Okay. But I was touring with other New Age authors. So we would do this thing called the Whole Life Expo in convention centers around North America. And one of the guys I toured with, named Greg Braden, who bills himself as a scientist. And so his workshop would be filled with men going to his pseudoscience. I'm sorry, Greg, it's not science. He's all about heart math and, you know, again, that whole law of attraction, use your thoughts, quantum, him and Deepak Chopra always say it's quantum physics that proves what they're teaching, you know, that our thoughts create our reality. But his workshops were filled with men. My experience in my workshops is it was 95% women, and then the rest were husbands who were dragged along to the workshop.
Okay. All right. So how easy then, as a woman who's, say she's raised up in the typical evangelical church, typical, like I was, purpose-driven, seeker-sensitive church, has started to read, you know, Sarah Young, and then moving on to doing her own automatic writing, doing her own contemplative prayer, joining places like the IF gathering, which is huge in my sphere, just having that type of influence. I'm starting to see too, within the women's ministry, and I know personally of individuals who use crystals. Yoga is not a big deal. Could you talk a little bit about yoga? Because I know some people who will probably be listening to this, and I try to help them understand, don't touch that. don't dive into that. So you can talk a little bit about yoga. And then can you go into crystals a little?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Happy to. Yeah. So I did yoga almost every day for over 20 years in the New Age. When I was saved, I threw away all of my yoga paraphernalia because it is a violation of the first two commandments, which are still for today. Yes, Jesus fulfilled the civil, dietary, judicial law. And he said that love God, love your neighbor. On these, all the law and the prophets hang, meaning the moral laws, the Ten Commandments are still for today. So what are they? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no graven images. I'm summarizing the first two commandments. So yoga is a Hindu worship practice. It's not just stretching or exercise. There's nothing wrong with stretching. I stretch every day. But the Hindu practice of yoga, and I actually have a video on my YouTube channel of a ex-Hindu who was raised in the high Brahmin priestly caste of India with a temple in his own house where people would do yoga. So he grew up with this. He said he wouldn't touch yoga now as a Christian. God saved him. Praise the Lord. Mm. But every pose is, the word yoga means yoke to Shiva or Brahma, the creator god of Hinduism. It's a polytheistic religion with something like 30 million deities. And they're all aspects and manifestations of their one god, Shiva. And so you're honoring and giving glory with your body to Shiva with these different asanas or poses. For example, every yoga series, including so-called holy yoga, includes the sun salutation series. And that should give us pause that it's sun salutation, right? Okay. But there's a pose in there called warrior pose, warrior 1, 2, and 3, where you have your arms perfectly out. It has to be exact or the teacher will come correct you. So it's not just casual stretching. Mm-hmm. It is a precise movement. And so it's an asana, which means pose in the Hindu language of Sanskrit. It's the pose of Virabhadras, who is he was the one who killed, on revenge, he killed one of Shiva's It's this long murder story is the bottom line. He killed and rescued Ganesh, who became the elephant-headed deity that you see on a lot of yoga t-shirts. And so the warrior pose of the Sun Salutation series is you making your body into a graven image of Varabhadras to reenact the murder scene.
Oh my goodness.
And right. And that's just one of, there's thousands of yoga poses that I knew. I knew all the Sanskrit names. I used to lecture at Kripalu, one of the major yoga teaching centers of America. And one of my best friends owned a big yoga studio. I was really in the yoga community. And I just want to say that, and I'm not being legalistic or pharisaical, I promise you, I'm going to show you how, that when people say that it's like the meat that Paul said was redeemed, that was prayed over in the pagan temple, they say, well, yoga's like that. I have Christian freedom. Well, we don't have Christian freedom to sin, right?
Right.
Galatians makes that very clear.
Right.
Okay. But so the analogy of the meat prayed over in the temple is that yoga is the pagan temple, not the meat.
Hmm.
Yoga is the pagan prayers in that temple, not the meat.
Gotcha.
It's like taking a Ouija board and putting Bible verses on a Ouija board and saying it's a Christian holy Ouija board. You can't redeem yoga or a Ouija board. You just can't. We have to stretch. I think it's part of our health. But what I recommend is physical therapy stretches. You can find the charts and the videos online for free. Just do that. Like go to a doorway and put your arms out and lean, you know, to stretch. Or just put a towel on the floor and stretch while you're watching TV. Just, yeah, stretch, but do not do the yoga poses.
Yeah, because it's...
And people will say to me, they'll say to me, well, God knows my heart. He knows I'm not worshiping Hindu deities. And I say, yeah, you should be afraid that God knows your heart. He knows you're being rebellious right now.
Yeah. So basically, just so for my understanding, you're going to a yoga class. You're doing poses that tell a story that are in line with their theology, right? They're basically
it's from the Vedas. Yeah.
Okay. So you are participating in some way in their theology by poses. Now, is there a, do they say there's some kind of spiritual connection? Do you get in connect supposedly with, we know it's a demon, it's a false god, but supposedly you're connected or gain some kind of power from doing it?
There's some talk about that. It's more like you're pleasing those deities.
Got you.
It's glorifying. And of course we know the Bible says that with our bodies, we are to glorify God with our bodies. And how is it glorifying God with our bodies to twist our body into a shape of a Hindu deity? It's just not. It's impossible.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as holy yoga. That's an oxymoron. Emphasis on moron, actually, if you research it. And these are money-making ventures. There's so much money in the yoga industry. So like Acts 19, Demetrius the silversmith is angry when Paul's teaching the gospel and nobody's buying his goddess statues anymore of Artemis, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The yoga teachers are so angry when I say this because it takes money out of their pocketbook.
Mm, yes.
But it's ill-gotten gain. We need to trust God for our provision, not go behind his, you can't go behind God's back, but
right.
You know, not violate his commandments to try to get provision. It will never work out.
Yeah. Well, then it really makes me wonder about these Christian churches who are literally hosting what they call Christian yoga classes. Okay, it's like you can't mix the two. You either have
it's an oxymoron.
Right. Or you have a yoga class because you're literally putting God next to an idol. And
And there's no other sport that puts holy in front of its name. There's no holy swimming classes or holy baseball. They know deep down, because God's law is written on our heart, they know that they're being rebellious. So they try to plaster on the word holy to try to make it sanctified. You see this with witches too. They call themselves Christian witches and Christian astrologers and Christian Enneagram and all these pagan practices. You can't Christianize paganism. You just can't. They're opposites.
Yeah.
We can't drink of the cup of the demons and the cup of the Lord. We can't sit at the table of the demons and the table of the Lord. They cannot mesh together two opposite worldviews. You just can't.
Yeah, it's like the same with the gospel-centered Enneagram. You really just can't.
Oh.
You can't do that either.
No.
I would love to get back onto that with you or get into that with you, but our time is... our time is wrapping up. Could you talk a little bit before we go, next couple of minutes, about crystals too? Because I know some people.
Yeah. Oh, crystals. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So crystals, it's interesting. Crystals are in the Bible, obviously, from Genesis to Revelation. God made them. They're beautiful. They can even be used for watches and some medical devices and computers. So crystals themselves are, I believe, spiritually neutral. But in the New Age, and unfortunately in some progressive churches, they have become an idol. And what's an idol? Anything that you believe has power apart from God, or magical power. Same with essential oils. There's distilled oils in the Bible. But when you believe that crystals or oils are the key to your health, your manifesting, your love life, you've made it into an idol. And what does it say in Revelation 21 and 22 about idolaters? It says they will be kept outside of the new heaven. They will be put into the lake of fire. So this is serious stuff. We have to check our heart, pray for the Holy Spirit's discernment, read our Bibles, and make sure that we don't have these idols.
Yeah. Amen to that. Yep. We just need to trust in God and sovereignty and everything that He's given you, the Holy Spirit, to look. If you have to go through health issues, God can heal you if you pray. But He presents to, what was it Job said, that why should I accept what is good from God and not accept the evil as well, the bad as well as the good? God disciplines His children through trials and tribulations,
right,
along with good things. And we should, trying to avoid those is like trying to thumb your nose at God, really. Well, before we close, there's one more question. Since we've talked about spirituality, mysticism, even a little bit of witchcraft and the tools that are used in that, and you coming out of it, now that you've come out of all this, do you see a difference between the NA spirituality and true biblical spirituality? What is true biblical spirituality?
I think true biblical spirituality is trying to draw closer and closer to our co-equal, co-eternal God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we have limits in this world. We have three things going against us: our flesh, the devil, and the world. And just to continuously be trying to mortify our sinful nature through Christ's strength instead of our own strength. With spirituality outside of that, it's trying to do it in your own strength, which will never work.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And Christ is sufficient to equip us. Scripture,
yes,
is sufficient. You want to know how to face everything that comes your way. Is why I do my podcast and why it's titled Thoroughly Equipped, because scripture, yeah, thoroughly equips you for every good work, for everything. Doreen, thank you. It's such a blessing to get to know you. And there were so many questions. Would you mind coming back on at some other time?
I would love to, Melissa. You're, yeah, fascinating to talk with.
I would love to learn about I highly suggest people watch the American Gospel. They did a conference on the Enneagram. I got to interview Dr. Rancheri on the Enneagram.
Oh, boy.
It was fantastic. Yeah. But I would love to talk to you too about the Enneagram and just some other things that I see that are just connected with spiritism and all of it, especially in women's ministry. Yeah. So I really, really appreciate all that you've been through and all that God has brought you out of. It is God's grace, and it is a grace to me to be able to watch it and, help, other people know about you and your ministry. So I pray the Lord continues to bless your ministry and strengthen you to continue doing what you're doing.
Thank
speaking
you.
Out. It's needed. It is so needed. As it's coming into the more popular, you would just think the regular simple churches, it is coming in. And so we need to be, as women, starting to speak out about it and to hold to God's truth. Is there anything you want to say? Where can people reach you before we go?
Well, they can reach me on Instagram under my name, Doreen Virtue, or through my podcast, my new podcast, New Age to New Heart, which I film with two other ladies who were saved out of the New Age. You can reach us through New Age to New Heart on Instagram or on YouTube. And then also, the one thing I just want to leave everyone with is that Bible reading daily is, it needs to be in the same category as brushing our teeth and brushing our hair and getting dressed. It needs to be looked at as non-optional. If you try to give yourself an out, you'll find an out. Just, I really am a big believer in Bible before breakfast. I know a lot of, you know, you have responsibilities, little kids, but just get up a little early, turn on that reading light, or go in the bathroom if you need to, you know, so you don't wake up your husband if that's the case, but just even a paragraph every single day of the Bible, it sets your tone. It renews your mind. It's just so important for us to be in the Word every single day without exception.
Yeah, and to do it in context and to just be encouraged to study on your own. I mean, that was a huge change in my life, was actually going from, you know, doing the pulling the verses and just using them like mystical type tool to get me through the day, or enchanting to myself. Which I think is a no-no. You don't want to do that with God's word. Give it honor. It deserves it. To study. So thank you, Doreen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa. God bless.
Yeah, God bless you.
Ladies, thanks for listening or watching this episode of Thoroughly Equipped. If this episode blessed you, would you give it a rating or a thumbs up? And if you think Thoroughly Equipped is a much needed ministry, consider subscribing. It helps spread the word. If you are interested to know more about Thoroughly Equipped, check out the blog, or just find some other great Christian resources, you can go to my website at ttew.org. You can connect with me on Facebook and Instagram. Links in the description below, or email me at melbatos@ttew.org. Thoroughly Equipped is part of Striving for Eternity's Christian podcast community, a one-stop resource for solid podcasts that can assist you in your Christian walk. Check that out at christianpodcastcommunity.org. I pray the God of all grace grants you more and more knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit thoroughly equips you through His written word for every good work. I pray you are in His word.